Hi, this is Sam Payne, host of The Appleseed. And before we start the show, we've got exciting news. Have you ever listened to The Appleseed and thought, hey, I could do that. I've got a story to tell. Well, now here's your chance. This May, we are collecting your stories. We're going to air them in a special episode of The Appleseed called DIY Stories. The episode will air in July, and we want to hear from you. We'd especially love to hear the stories you shared after listening to an episode of The Appleseed. Which memories and stories were sparked for you by listening to the show? Find a quiet spot to record the story on your phone. You can tell a story by yourself or with a friend or family members helping play the parts. It's got to be 5 minutes or less and appropriate for a family audience. Please send your stories to theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at BYU.edu, and you may just end up on The Appleseed. Stories have to be submitted by May 31st, 2025 to be considered. And now, on with the podcast. Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Now, anyone who has ever interacted with different people knows that there are different kinds of smarts. There's book smarts and street smarts. There's emotional intelligence, social intelligence, intelligence in a particular field of study. And just because you might not know as much as someone else with one kind of smarts doesn't mean they're smarter than you in every kind of smarts. You might be a genius of your own in ways that surprise people, including yourself. We hope you enjoy this story from Donna Washington about one young man and his quest for figuring out what kind of smarts he has. The story is called Morgan and the Pot of Brains. Here's Donna Washington with our Appleseed live audience.
Thank you so much for having me here today. Now, Morgan was stupid. Everybody knew. When he was little, someone would say, Morgan, come here. He'd run over and they'd say, Morgan, why is the grass green? And Morgan would say, I don't know. And they'd say, that's because you're stupid. And they'd walk away. Morgan, come here, come here. Why is the sky blue? Morgan would say, I don't know. That's because you're stupid. And then they'd walk away. It got to the point that whenever someone asked Morgan a question, he wouldn't answer. But his eyes would cross, and his hands would start to sweat, and his stomach would get all tied up in knots, and he'd run away. Now, Morgan didn't come out of the house again after that, and he didn't have a friend in the world. And when he was about 6 years old, his mother said to him, Morgan, it's time for you to go to school. You know where it is. We pass it every single day on the way to market. Go on down there and get yourself some education. And Morgan said, all right, mother. And he took his lunch, and he went and sat on the front porch. His mother found him out there about 3 hours later. She said, Morgan, why didn't you go to school? Morgan said, I'm pretty stupid. I probably can't learn anything. She said, you know, you are pretty stupid. You better come back inside the house. Morgan never went to school a day in his life. His mother taught him at home to read and to write and to do mathematics. And when she taught him as much as she knew, she got him books so he could read for himself. And she said to him, I always thought that you were going to take care of us when you got older, but I don't know if you're smart enough to work. So I'm going to go to town and get a job. You stay here and don't touch anything. Morgan said, okay. And years passed, and Morgan was reading and reading and reading, and he noticed that his mother would come home, clean the house, work the garden, and cook. And it seemed like a lot. So he said to her mother, I'm going to take over cleaning the house. And she said, absolutely not. He said, why not? She said, well, what if you burn it down? He said, I'm not going to burn down the house. She said, you might. I might not. Give me a chance. Morgan was a genius in the house. He kept everything organized and put together. One morning, his mother said to him, Morgan, I've been worried about your brains, and I've been asking around about it, and it turns out there's a magician who lives up on that mountain. I've saved all the money I've made. I want you to take the money, go up there, and buy yourself some brains. And Morgan said, okay. So Morgan took the money, and the very next morning, he got up really early, he left the house, and he went up that mountain, and he came to a babbling brook running downstream, and he jumped over it. He went up some steps and knocked on a door. Pum, 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 little house. The door opened. Standing there was a wee little man with red hair and big green eyes, and he said, "Morgan, I've been expecting you." And Morgan said, "I have, good, then you have my brains." And he looked over the man's shoulder, and in the corner was a big pot. Bubbles bursting on the top. He thought, "I bet my brains are cooking away in that pot." He said, "I brought you some money. I've come to get my brains." And the man said, "Morgan, it doesn't work like that. If you want brains, you're going to have to answer a riddle." Morgan said, "If I could answer riddles, I wouldn't need to buy brains." "I brought you some money. I want to buy some brains." The man said, "That's not how it works." Morgan said, "Okay, then what's the riddle?" The man said, "Tell me, Morgan, what runs without feet, speaks without tongue, and never gets out of its bed?" And Morgan tried to think about that. But his eyes crossed and his hands started to sweat and his stomach got all tied up in knots. And what was worse, the brook babbling and running downstream in the stream bed was so loud he couldn't think. He said, "I don't know." The man said, "Morgan, go home. But if you ever come back, don't bring me money. Bring me the heart of the thing you love most in the world. If it's the right heart, you'll be able to answer the riddle." Morgan turned around. He went down the steps over the brook and home. His mother was waiting in the yard. She said, "Morgan, love, did you get your brains?" He said, "No." He wanted me to answer a riddle, and if I could answer riddles, I wouldn't need to buy brains. He gave her the money back, and she put it away. And time went on. And Morgan's mother kept going to town and coming back, working the garden and cooking. And finally, Morgan said to her mother, "You've been working so hard. I'm watching how hard it is for you to get down on your knees and work the garden. I'm going to take care of the garden." She said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, if you kill it, we won't have any food." He said, "I'm not going to kill the garden." "You might, I might not. Just give me a chance." Morgan was a genius in the garden. Everything he touched turned out perfectly. The peas, the beets, the potatoes. People would walk by and say, "Morgan, how did you get those potatoes so big?" But Morgan was afraid to talk to people. He didn't see anything. And they'd walk up and say, "It's a good thing he's lucky because he doesn't know what he's doing." Well, Morgan's mother was really worried about him because he was always by himself. So she got him a pet. She bought him a billy goat. That thing jumped around the yard. He loved that thing. He brushed that billy goat. He talked to that billy goat. It was the first friend he'd ever had. And one morning, about 5 years after he'd last seen that magician, he was brushing that billy goat and he was thinking to himself, "I love this thing more than anything in all the world." And for the first time in 5 years, Morgan started thinking about his brains. He stayed up with the billy goat all night long, talking to the billy goat, petting the billy goat, and right before the sun came up, he butchered the billy goat. He put its heart in a bag and he went up the mountain. He went up the mountain, he jumped the brook, he went up the steps, he knocked on the door, pump, 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 the door opened. And there was that little man with the red hair and the green eyes over his shoulder, that big pot, bubbles bursting on the top, Morgan's brains cooking away in the corner. The man said, "Morgan, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. Have you brought me the heart of the thing you love most in the world?" And Morgan said, "I have. I brought you the heart of my billy goat. It's got to be the right heart. Please give me my brains." And the man said, "It doesn't work like that, Morgan. If it's the right heart, you'll be able to answer the riddle." Morgan said, "I don't want to answer a riddle. I brought you the heart of my billy goat." He goes, "You got to answer the riddle." "Okay. What's the riddle?" The man said, "Tell me, Morgan, what sort of bird has no beak, no feathers, no wings, and no feet?" He tried to think about that, but his eyes start to cross, and his stomach got all tied up in knots, and his hands start to sweat. And what was worse, the last thing he had before he left home was scrambled eggs. He just couldn't think. He said, "I don't know." And the man said, "Morgan, you brought me the wrong heart. Go home." And Morgan turned around, went down the steps over the brook. Halfway home, he buried his billy goat's heart. His mother was waiting for him in the yard. She said, "Morgan, love, did you get your brains?" He said, "No. And please don't get me any more pets." Morgan was alone after that. And the years passed, and his mother kept taking that long walk to town and coming home. And she was getting slower and slower, and it took her longer and longer to make dinner. And Morgan said to her, "You know, Mother, I'm going to take over making dinner. I'm going to cook the dinner." And she said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Why not?" If you cut your hand off, you'll bleed to death before anyone can find you. He said, I'm not going to cut my hand off. You don't know that you won't. You don't know that I will. Just give me a chance. If I'm terrible at it, I'll stop cooking. And of course, Morgan had been watching his mother cook for years, and he had some idea of his own. He was a genius in the kitchen. Everything he touched turned out perfectly. In fact, his mother would be coming home, there'd be people lined up outside the gate going, oh, what's he making in there? She said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And she'd go in and have supper. It got to the point that, you know how when you smell something that smells really good, your stomach goes, it sounded like there were monsters outside her gate every time she was coming home from work. And finally someone said, does he have anything extra? Because I'd pay for it. She said, really? She quit her job in town, and Morgan would spend all day cooking. And in the evening, his mother would open the window, and she would sell all of the extra food. People would be lined up down the lane, and of course, they always sold out before everybody could get something. And people would start complaining, and she would say, just come earlier tomorrow. And she'd shut the window. Well, this went on for about 5 years, and Morgan was very happy. Until his mother got very ill. And she called Morgan to her and she said, Morgan, I'm dying. You need your brains. You know what you're going to have to do. And Morgan said, I cannot do that. And she said, you have no choice. And not long after that, Morgan's mother died. And Morgan sat up all night with her. They had the wake. The people came. They dug the grave. They put the coffin in the ground. They were going to bury it. Morgan said, I'll take care of that myself. And everyone left. And right before the sun came up, he buried most of her. And he went up the mountain with a bag. He jumped the brook. He went up the steps. He knocked on the door. The door opened. And there was a little man, red hair, green eyes, over his shoulder, big buck. Bubbles bursting away in the corner, Morgan's brains cooking away. The man said, Morgan, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. Have you brought me the heart of the thing you love most in the world? I have. The man said, well, Morgan, I'm not answering a riddle today. You asked for the heart of the thing I love most in the world. This has got to be the right heart. Just give me my brains. And the man said, it doesn't work like that, Morgan. You have to answer the riddle. Okay, what's the riddle? The man said, tell me, Morgan. This thing runs across the ground, comes down the garden path, then howls down the chimney. What is it, Morgan? He tried to think about that. But his eyes crossed. And his stomach got all tied up in knots, and his hands started to sweat. And what was worse, the wind howling in the chimney was so loud he could not think. He said, I don't know. The man said, Morgan, you brought me the wrong heart. Go home, Morgan. Go home. And Morgan turned around and he went down the steps and over the brook, and halfway home, he just buried his mother's heart and he sat by the side of the road crying because he couldn't think of anything else to do. And I must say, I do like the fact that there's a young man crying in a story instead of a young lady. Anyway, he's sitting by the side of the road, weeping his eyes out. And down the road he hears, whoom, 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 whoom. And down the road comes a girl. And she's really different from the girls in his village. She's hacked her hair off instead of it being long and braided. And she has divided her skirts. Now, back in the day, it wasn't even okay for you to see where a lady's legs were. But some women who had a little bit of something going on, they would divide their skirts and then sew them so they could ride a horse like a man. Even though when they walked, it looked like they were wearing skirts. And she was wearing boots instead of slippers, and she was a brawny woman. And she saw him sitting there crying by the side of the road, and she stopped and said, boy, what are you sitting there crying for? Morgan hadn't really spoken to anybody except his mother most of his life, and you ever meet someone and you just pour your heart out to him? He just started talking and talking, and she sat down next to him, and she just listened. She made all the right noises. Oh, you okay? I understand. And when he was done, she started talking to him. She told him her name was Maydee, and she did not want to cook or clean or work a garden. She wanted to get a job. And so she'd left home, and he liked to cook and clean and work a garden. They should get married. Morgan thought that was the best proposal he would ever get. He said yes. They got married, and the next day they moved into his mother's house, and when Meiji got back from getting a job, there were people lined up all outside the kitchen window. The smells coming out of the house were amazing. Meiji went into the yard and said, "Excuse me, everybody just look at me for a second. In all the time Morgan has lived here, not a once have any of you had a kind word for him. Just so you know, from today on, Morgan cooks for me. Get out of my yard." And she went into the house. Morgan and Meiji were quite happy together for about 5 years. And one morning, Meiji got up. She kissed him on the cheek. She took her lunch. She went out the door. And Morgan thought to himself, "I love her more than anything in all the world." And for the first time in 5 years, Morgan started thinking about his brains. When she got back from work, he told her what he was thinking about. And she said, "Well, Morgan, if it's that important to you, I guess we'll do it tomorrow." Which is how the next day he was leaving the house with a bag. He climbed the mountain. He jumped the brook. He went up the stairs. He knocked on the door. Pump, pump, pump. The door opened. There was a little man with the red hair and the big green eyes. Big pot over his shoulder. Bubbles bursting away. Morgan's brains cooking away in the corner. And the man says, "Morgan, I didn't think I'd ever see you again." And Morgan said, "I will. I'm here for brains." The man says, "I guess so. Did you bring me the heart of the thing you love most in the world?" Morgan said, I did." The man said, "Is it in that bag?" Morgan held up the bag. This is my lunch." The man said, "Well, where is..." And a hand grabbed the door and wrenched it the rest of the way open. And Meiji said, "My heart is in my chest where it belongs. What is it you want?" And the man said, "Well, Morgan's been coming here for brains. But if he wants brains, he's got to answer riddles." And she said, "Let me tell you how this is going to work. You wanted my heart. I am answering these riddles." He said, "All right. The first one is this. What runs without foot, speaks without tongue, and never gets out of its bed?" And she said, "That's easy. It's the brook behind you. It runs downstream, but it hasn't got feet. It babbles, but it hasn't got a tongue, and it stays in its bed, which is the stream bed." And Morgan says, "Aye, any fool could have figured that out." The man says, "Tell me, Meiji, what kind of bird has no beak, no feet, no feathers, and no wings?" And she says, "An egg." "That's a kind of bird, isn't it? Hasn't got beak, nor feet, nor feathers, nor wings." Morgan says, "Aye, any fool could have figured that out, yeah." The man says, "If any fool can answer these riddles, you answer the last one, Morgan." Morgan said, "Okay." The man said, "Tell me, this thing runs across the ground, goes down the garden path, then howls down the chimney. What is it, Morgan?" And Morgan felt the old sickness when Meiji said, "Love, listen to the chimney." And he did. And he heard the wind howling. "Aye, it's the wind." The man said, "Aye, it is, Morgan." Morgan said, "Well, finally, give me my brains." And the man said, "Morgan, all the brains you've ever needed are in your wife's head. Keep her and you'll be fine." And then he pointed to that big pot and he said, "And would you like some vegetable soup?" They stayed with that man for a couple of days and then they went home and Morgan shut himself in the house to do some long overdue thinking. And within a month, he opened a restaurant. People came from all over to eat Morgan's food. Morgan had been reading about things from all over the world. You could ask him anything, he could answer you. He could take your money, do the change, and hand it right back to you. People left that restaurant and asked the question, "Why did we ever think that man was stupid? He's got to be the smartest man we've ever met." And Morgan told his children and his grandchildren, "Don't let anybody tell you who you are. Figure it out for yourself." And that is the story of Morgan and the pot of brains.
That was Donna Washington with her story, Morgan and the Pot of Brains. I love how Morgan in this story thought that he'd be smart as soon as those brains bubbling away in the pot were somehow poured into his head. Well, he was wrong about what was in the pot, of course. It wasn't brains at all. And Morgan came with built-in brains all his own. And he had them all the time. And I can relate, I think. Listening to this story reminds me of times in my life when I thought, someday I'll be smart, or someday I'll have the skills I want to have to do the things I want to do. Not right now, of course. Right now, I'm just a little old nothing. I think I spent a lot of my childhood needlessly thinking I wasn't much. looking forward to the time when I might be more of a person because I'd have more experience or more brains or more money or more whatever. I've learned over and over that while it's important to learn more things and gain more skills and get better and better at stuff, it's also important to reach out and do good things with the person you are right now. That lesson has come again and again. And here's the story of just one time that lesson came to me. My son, when he was just a little kid, got cast in a play with a bunch of other kids. And at their first rehearsal, the director of the play sat them down and asked them if they were ready to be real live actors. And one of the kids said, "Not right now. We're too little. We need to learn more stuff before we can be real actors." And the director looked at that kid and said, "Have you ever seen a kid in a movie or a play or on TV?" And of course, everybody had. And the director said, "Well then, it must be that kids can be real live actors, even before learning everything they'll come to know by the time they're grown-ups." Well, that made a lot of sense to the kids. And it helped them take themselves seriously when they stood on stage to sing and dance and say things that were supposed to delight and thrill and move the people in the audience, even the grown-ups. I try to remember that when I'm up against something I don't feel quite ready for. It happens a lot. But it's important for me to engage like a real, live, whatever it is, using everything that I am right now. And that's where Donna's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? There's a lot more coming up, but I wanted to introduce you to another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called In Good Faith, and it's a podcast in which host Stephen Capp Perry talks with a different person in every episode about their walk of faith, their faith tradition, their relationship with the divine. And whether you want to strengthen your own faith or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion and about a walk of faith with a terrific listener, that's Stephen Capp Perry and In Good Faith. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to In Good Faith whenever you like, whenever you need it. It's another great podcast from BYU Radio. We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed Podcast. Next up, a little thing from Kevin Kling that reminds us that there's more than one way to get an education, and more than one sort of education that may help you make it through the tough spots. We hope you enjoy Kevin's story called Four Brothers.
So the Greeks thought of stories like a loom, in that vertically ran the metaphor, horizontally ran the sequence, and where they came together, they wove their invisible threads for their cloaks of immortality. I like to think of stories like four brothers. There were four brothers, and they all went out to find an education. The first brother went out and he became an architect, famous in his field for buildings and bridges. Second brother went out and he became a doctor, cured anything. Third brother got out and he got into the mystical sciences, spirituality and mystics. Fourth brother never really kind of found his path. So he just wandered city to city to city. Okay, they all get together for Thanksgiving and they said, "Let's go out and see who got the best education." So they went along this path and they found a dead lion. Let's use this lion to find out who got the best education. So the first brother, the architect, is off, and he put the lion's bones just the way the lion was. Then the second brother jumped in, and he put on the skin and the organs, and so it looked just like a lion. And then the third brother, the mystic, got ready to breathe the breath of life into the lion when the fourth brother climbed up into a tree. So the third brother breathed into the lion, it came to life and ate the three brothers. The fourth brother climbed out of the tree and said, "Ah, now we'll never know who got the best education." But I think that's the way stories work. We take all these different kinds of knowledge, all these different facts and figures, and we try to put them together and form a story.
That was Kevin Kling with Four Brothers. Have you ever underestimated your own intelligence just because you didn't have one kind of smarts or another? Was there some unique insight you've ever offered that surprised those around you? Have you ever surprised yourself with your own intelligence in one situation or another? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. Just send your stories to our social media channels or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. And here's a reminder to check out our other shows, including Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes, and Kaboom, an audio adventure podcast. Now, both of these shows are full of terrific stories that are sure to thrill and uplift young listeners as well as the rest of the family. You can find them anywhere you get your podcasts. We want to thank Donna Washington and Kevin Kling for their tales. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromartie. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.